Right now, we welcome in, you know him, of course, from Rangers Insider and during Mavericks season, Mavs Insider. He's with you constantly on these airwaves, our buddy Mike Peasley. What's going on, Peas? How are you?
What's up, Mr. McLaren? DJ, how are you guys doing today?
Oh, doing so good, Peas. So happy to talk to you today.
Always a pleasure, boys. What's on your minds? What's going on?
Well, we heard first that your daughter had a basketball game this morning in which they won 28-0.
Yeah, there's one team in the old third grade girls summer league basketball that isn't quite up to the standards of some of the other teams in the league. Let's just put it that way.
Is your daughter available to sign in free agency for the Mavericks for the minimum?
Let's just say she would not be opting out of any kind of contract. Guys like DeAndre Jordan and LeBron James doing.
Can she run the pick and roll though? I mean, does she?
She's very good at the pick. Yes, that's one thing that she has done extremely well. Sets that high pick for the point guard. Rolls to the basket. Now, she won't necessarily catch it in traffic, but every now and then,
she'll
find a way to put the handle on the ball and put it in the hoop.
Would she be a problem, though, with Carlisle? Would their intellects clash? Would their personalities clash?
She does great with very hard coaching. She gets coached very hard, so Rick Carlisle would enjoy coaching her.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, I don't know. She might be on the level of a DeAndre Jordan, certainly much more affordable, but what are your thoughts on this DeAndre Jordan saga, bringing him perhaps back after what happened 3 years ago?
Yeah, 3 years ago, that's a long time ago. And what happened there set the organization back. It stung, but as they say, time heals all wounds. He's just a perfect fit for what the Mavericks need right now. You just envision him with the pick and roll with Dennis Smith Jr. or the pick and roll with Luka Doncic. The Mavericks have needed somebody in the middle to protect the paint for so long, ever since Tyson Chandler left. They've always had struggle rebounding the basketball, especially on the defensive end. DeAndre Jordan checks off all of those boxes. So the fit just is perfect. Now, hopefully, nothing weird happens between now and him officially signing with the Warriors maybe getting involved as well. But To me, it's a no-brainer. It makes perfect sense. DeAndre Jordan of the Mavericks is just a perfect fit for what this team needs right now.
Now, let's say all of these moves fall perfectly for the Mavericks. We have a fan that has challenged J-Dub City, saying that the Mavs are going to be 50-game winners, which last season would have put them in the 3 spot, so the Mavs would be hosting a playoff series next year. What do you see as a realistic jump for 2018-19?
Maybe about 10 under that, maybe 40. I mean, because what did they win last year? 24 games?
24.
So you're trying to tell me they're going to double their win total plus 2 more. I mean, Luka Doncic is going to be good. I don't think he's going to be, 26 wins better. Same with the DeAndre Jordan, but
come on. Give us something to believe in.
I'm giving you 40. I'm giving you 40, for goodness sake. You had 24 this year. I'm giving you a 16 win improvement. I think that would be a nice step forward, a 40-win season, to be 40 and 42. I with the Doncic, and if they do land DeAndre Jordan, do I think they're better than any of the 8 teams that are in the playoffs right now? No. Do I think that they'd be better than Denver, who just missed out with 46 wins? No. But the stock would be going up on this team, which is what you want to see right now with young guys like Dennis Smith Jr. and Doncic and Harrison Barnes growing into his role as well. You put DeAndre Jordan in there as well. They'll win a heck of a lot more than 24. I do know that, but I think 40 would be an appropriate total. I think.
What are your thoughts on the LeBron sweepstakes, Cleveland or LA?
For a while I was thinking he's going to re-up with Cleveland, but then I see the comments that the owner Dan Gilbert made, saying that he's ready to get his team back. I was like, I just don't see how LeBron goes back to that again. I think he ends up in L.A. with the Lakers, whether or not he gets any of his buddies to join him, whether, Kawhi is there or Paul George. I just think it's time for him to get out of Cleveland. He did what he said he was going to do. He brought that city an NBA championship. It's just best for him to get away, far away from Dan Gilbert as possible.
Talking to the great Mike Peasley here on 103.3 FM. You don't have Rangers duty today, do you? That's what I was told.
I do not. No, the 8 o'clock start tonight, plus we got game 2 of that Red Sox-Yankees series. That's on, I believe, at 5:30, so no Rangers show for me tonight.
Well, you're really missing out on this grudge match today against the White Sox, and the Rangers have won quite a bit lately. I just want you to kind of outline what has been going right for the Rangers lately.
The schedule has certainly helped. They have played five straight teams with losing records. The Rockies, the Royals, the Twins, the Padres, and now the White Sox. And to the Rangers' credit, you know, they've gone, 10-3 in that spurt. So, you know, playing lesser teams that have been worse than them has certainly helped. But also, you know, this team has, they've gotten quality starting pitching. Starters have been able to work deep into games. The bullpen has been rock solid. Had a hiccup the other day there against the San Diego, and Jake Diekman could not hold on to a 2-0 lead there in the eighth inning. But for the most part, you know, with Jose Leclerc, Keona Kella, they've been locked down there. And, you know, offensively, they've gotten production from everybody right now in the lineup. Of course, Chu's got that 41-game on-base streak. He's been doing a great job there at the top of the order. Even the bottom part of the order, getting production as well. Nomar Mazar has been really good here, too. And also the defense has been really good. This team has only made one error in the last eight games. So when you put all that together, it's no secret why this team has won 10 out of 12. You get to good starting pitching, good bullpen, some timely hitting, a little bit of power, good defense. That's the recipe for a nice 2 weeks. And it doesn't hurt that you're playing really bad teams. And there are a lot of really bad teams, especially in the American League Central.
And it comes at a time for some of these guys to maybe perform because we're, what, about a month out now, almost exactly, of the trade deadline. We expect certain guys to get traded, but how many Rangers do you think that are on this roster right now that will be somewhere else come August 1st?
Probably... Boy, August 1st, that's hard, because I think September 1st, you could see even more guys go, especially with Cole Hamels, because just because of his contract, it makes it a little more challenging to try to trade him because you owe what's left of the $22 million he's making next year. Then he's got that club option for $20 million with a $6 million buyout. That's a lot of money, especially he's got a partial no-trade clause and, you know, other teams up against the luxury tax. It makes it a little more difficult to trade him. Maybe he is a guy that goes in August when he has to, you know, when the non-waiver trade deadline passes and he has to pass through waivers, which shouldn't be any kind of issue with the amount of money that he is owed. But, you know, could a deal be worked with, between him and another team before July 31st? Sure. Jake Diekman, I think, would be a helpful piece to somebody's bullpen. Those two guys, I think, are the most likely to go. Adrian Beltre, we'll see what happens with him in terms of, you know, which team is in need of a third baseman. I think he'd fit really well in Atlanta with that team right there to give them another veteran presence. Maybe even Boston as well. To Rafael Devers hasn't been outstanding at third base. That way Beltre could play third base and DH as well. Keona Kella is the interesting guy. You know, he's under contract through 2020. Do the Rangers feel like they're ready to contend by 2020? Do they want to sell Kella at his highest? That's the one that I think I'm most intrigued about. So I will say that between now and July 31st, there will be three Rangers that will be traded.
I'm just such a Rangers trade pessimist right now because it seems like the deals, the packages that they've been getting back for what they've been selling pale in comparison to what they were paying other teams whenever the Rangers were in contention. It just seemed like they were giving, even if some of those guys didn't end up panning out the way that they were expected to, they were giving away big-time prospects in order to land a guy like Mike Adams, you know, guys that did contribute positively to the Rangers back in the day. Is a package of Cole Hamels and Keone Kella, hypothetically, enough to bring back a legitimate starting pitching prospect that the Rangers could project to be a top-of-the-rotation type guy?
How much money are the Rangers taking of Cole Hamels' contract?
As much as it takes.
As much as it takes, then yes, that would bring it back for a contender. You could get a legitimate starting pitching prospect in return for that, because Cole Hamels obviously would go into that team's rotation, and Keona Kella is not a rental. Again, he's under club control then for 2020, so you'd have him this year and two more years as well. That would be enough to do it, as long as the Rangers would eat most of the contract. And I think the organization would do that as well, to bring in more prospects because they know they are light in starting pitching. I think they would eat some of that Cole Hamels money if it meant bringing back. So, yeah, DJ, I think that deal right there of Kella and Hamels would bring back a starting pitching prospect. How great is that starting pitching prospect? It's not a number one or number two, but, you know, a mid-rotation kind of piece.
Well, sign me up, because I think that we've still got a ways.
I'll take it.
I think we need as many lottery tickets right now as we can get. Talking to the great Mike Peasley here on 103.3 FM, The Show. And you brought up third base a little bit ago, and this has really been bothering me for the majority of this season, where we had Joey Gallo tell the media he does not want to play third base. He sees himself long-term as a left fielder. And this just absolutely blows my mind, because I thought that for a long time, I thought he was the heir apparent at third base, that he was going to take things over there after Adrian Beltre rides off into the sunset. How much have you thought about this and his move there, and how much do you think that affects his overall value to the team?
Well, the value to the team is going to be the same, because his value is hitting 40 home runs. That's where the value of Joey Gallo is to the team. And I was surprised, too, because I was like you. I thought for sure that, you know, he was going to be the heir apparent to Adrian Beltre over at third base. But again, if he doesn't like playing the position, do you really want to have a guy out there that isn't 100% invested in playing that position? So you can continue to play him at first base, continue to play there in left field. If you really want to start saving up your money, Nolan Arenado becomes a free agent after 2019, and how good would he look there at the third base for the Texas Rangers? You go from Adrian Beltre, have a little stopgap next year, and then put Nolan Arenado at third base when the new ballpark opens up in 2020. That is what you can sign me up for.
Yeah, that
would be awesome.
That would be pretty awesome. I guess ultimately what my problem with the Rangers is right now, that nobody seems to want to talk about, is the lack of attention, it seems, to pitching and to defense. How many years has it been since the Rangers have had a all-around above-average defensive team? And whenever you look at the teams that are actually competing at the end of the season, they're incredible defensively, and they're incredibly deep in their pitching. Why are we so scared, it seems, as a fan base, to really face this and to kind of call out the organization on their lack of attention to two of the, I think, the two most important factors of a team?
Well, let's look at it this way. When the Rangers, when they're in 95, around 95, but 2015, 2016, they had Yu Darvish and Cole Hamels at the top of the rotation. And those were, you know, arguably the best 1-2 combination, you could argue, in the American League. And then everything was slotted down after that as well. Well, Cole Hamels has gotten a little older. Yu Darvish is gone now for free agency. And, of course, you know, the Rangers traded away a lot of the pitching prospects that they had to go out there and get a guy like a Cole Hamels. So, you can make it certainly, you know, every right to, you know, challenge the organization about this, about them and the inability to, you know, develop their own starting pitching, because they just haven't been able to do that. Well, Derek Holland and Martin Perez are your two guys that are the best that you have developed. That's a little bit of an issue, but hey, this past draft, they went heavy on pitching. So let's see 3-4 years down the road, you know, see if these guys, you know, come and develop. But you can also go at it a different way. You could go with the philosophy. It's like, I'm going to get as many bats as possible, and then I'm going to buy my starting pitching. That way, I know these guys have already developed. I know their injury risk and everything. It's more expensive to do it that way, but you can always go that philosophy as well and just buy your starting pitching. That worked out pretty well for the Cubs in 2016, because, you know, all they did was go bats, 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 and they went out there and they signed John Lester, and he sort of suddenly turned the franchise around. Maybe the Rangers go that route with all these young hitters that they have when they think that they're ready to go and ready to contend. Maybe they splurge on the free agent market either next year or the year after and bring in a big free agent pitcher to headline this rotation. So there's two different ways you can go at it.
All right, Pease, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for stopping down with us here on your day off.
Hey, enjoy your afternoon. My daughter will be thrilled that she got mentioned on the radio.
We want her on the Mavericks. We want her in there.
All right, thanks, man. There he is, the greatness of Mike Pease. And again, you hear him right now pretty much, 5-6 times a week doing Rangers Insider. You can catch him an hour before games, and then, of course, with the post game as well. And then as we transition later in the year to the Mavs with Mavs Insider.